Hi, I'm Stacey Shoemaker-Rowan, Editor-in-Chief of Hospitality Design Magazine with HD's What I've Learned podcast. This week, I was joined by Naomi Heaton. The advertising powerhouse turned real estate maven recently announced the launch of The Other House, a members club meets long-term rental option for the next generation of travelers. Naomi set out to create a brand that focuses on flexibility and technology, thanks to a proprietary app that invites guests to create their own personalized journey, all from their phone. This hospitality model is partially in response to the pandemic, as people have become more discerning with how and why they travel. With two properties opening in London in the next 2 years, Naomi is planning to expand the brand globally, providing residents with a second home as they move from club to club around the world. Hi, I'm here with Naomi. Naomi, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to join you and to have this chat with you.
Great. Well, we always start at the beginning. So where did you grow up?
Oh, where did I grow up? Well, I was born in London and then I moved to Kent and I went to university in Oxford and then came back to the big smoke of London after I graduated.
Amazing. And was design or hospitality or any early inklings that this might be what you want to do later in life?
Well, I've always enjoyed design and been creative. And I suppose actually my first career was in advertising. So to the extent of design and creativity, that kind of fitted the bill. Whilst I was working in advertising and I was a director of Saatchi's, I bought my first property. I bought my first property young. And I suppose probably that gave me the bug. I couldn't, for myself, understand why people would rent rather than trying to pay a mortgage and buy a property. And I suppose I renovated that property. And from then on, alongside advertising, and when I look back, I can never understand how I had the time, I used to buy property and do it up and sell it. And I realized that I had a skill of reconfiguring space and making it look really design-led for no more money than the next person down the street and be able to actually make more money at the point of disposal. So I suppose I did go on a creative path through advertising, but this kind of property element came really, yeah, as a surprise, and the ability to be able to see space and visualize it. And whenever I go into property, I can see exactly how to reconfigure it. And when I go into property, I see what it looks like when it's done up, despite the fact that I'm standing in the middle of a decrepit wreck. So that has been with me for a very, very long time. And the move, in fact, from advertising, because I suppose I am naturally an entrepreneur, was to say, well, actually, I'd prefer to set up my business and work with clients where you get a brief and then they don't go with it. And also, in fact, I was what's called account handler. So I had the creative people on one side, the client on the other. The client wanted the biggest logo and the creative wanted no logo, and bringing the two together was always a kind of nightmare. So I thought, okay, I'll go it alone. And the obvious thing was to obviously do development. And then from that, I realized that if you develop, you're only as good as your last product and you actually want to create a service. And so I set up a company where we bought for the investor. So until then, estate agency, unlike the states, always represents the seller of property, never the buyer. And I set up an enterprise where we represented the buyer. And then that morphed into a one-stop service from buying to renovating to letting and managing, particularly for foreign investors who were either too busy or didn't have the expertise. So I developed this whole one-stop concept from that kind of love of developing property.
I know you mentioned one of the agencies, but did you work for, you know, major agencies and work with big brands? And, you know, what did you learn through that process while you were in advertising?
Oh, well, Saatchi & Saatchi is a major agency. It was probably the most important agency, most formative agency, certainly in the UK. Prior to that, I worked for an agency you may be more familiar with, because it was American founded, which is Leo Burnett. And I worked for just big brands. I worked on what's called fast moving packaged goods, and I worked for Heinz and Cadbury and Kellogg and Johnny Walker. I worked for all the big brands. So obviously I learned a huge amount in terms of branding, positioning, strategy, all of which has been so important for the other house. But I also learned about managing business and running business and all the business principles as well. So it was a fantastic grounding to go forward in any business that I wanted to set up. And certainly I still use those skills in terms of what we're doing with the other house.
Yeah. And so you mentioned the other house. So what, tell us what the other house is. How did you get, to coming up? How did you come up with it? And what do you want to create with this new brand?
Okay. So I have a company, London Central Portfolio LCP. That's a company that I founded to provide the one-stop asset management service for people who were investing in central London and particularly investing in the rental market. What we found, or I saw, is that over time, the rental market has evolved an awful lot. So people have tended to, this is all in prime central London. Our specialism is prime central London, and it's old buildings where you can add value, renovate, refurbish, but it's not the new build that you might get in the city. It's all the beautiful old heritage property that you get in the very center of London. And what I found was that over the years, the market started to change. So first of all, people were renting smaller and smaller units because they wanted the location, the prime central London location, but budgets, particularly if you were a corporate tenant, were constrained. Then we saw the emergence of people expecting really aspirational design and lifestyle. And more recently, we saw people wanting service to click a finger. And at that point, I thought, well, we're just renting a bunch of hotel rooms, so why don't we provide them with what they want, which is this kind of hotel-style living coupled with the wonderful sense of place you get from being a long-stay rental tenant. And once we started examining the market, we saw that the divide between hotel, service departments, which is still a very small sector in the UK, and long-stay rental were just artificial divides. They were being used by the same people, but at different stages of their life. And at the one end, on the hotel end, you had probably great service, but it's rather cold and formal and itinerant. And at the other end, you have this wonderful sense of place, but not the service. So what we wanted to do was to create an offering which created that sense of place, provided people with service as and when they wanted it, not foisted on them, but as and when they wanted it, but also for people who were staying for a day, a week, a month, or a year. So completely flexible stay. So what's really new about the concept is that sense of you can stay, you can live as a resident here for as long as you want, a day or a year. But then combining it with a really homely environment, but using an app, and the app and the technology is absolutely fundamental to our concept. You can dial in service or dial out of service, whatever you want to do. And the other key element, core element of it, was the fact that rather than it being a boxy hotel room, we've created what we call club flats. And they have a distinct living area, distinct sleeping area, and a kitchen. So you can be in your own private area, your own personal space, if that's what you want. And we spent the last 30 years creating or making or optimizing small spaces to create a home. So not space saving gizmos, just clever use of space. And that in itself is a fundamental difference from a hotel. And we've had to take our architects and our interior designers on a big journey to understand what we had in mind, although it was absolutely in our DNA. Because just taking a really small, or rather very large example, in most hotels and often with service departments, you go through your sleeping area past your bed to get to maybe your sitting area and a desk or whatever it may be. But if you were living in your home, you would always have your sitting area before your sleeping area, so you can hide all your junk there, and you'll entertain your entertaining space, and there'll be something behind. So just a fundamental change like that changes the ethos. So we have these club flats where people can be independent, but also we created this area which is just for residents. So it's a club area, a space with a couple of bars and a spa where you can just be quiet and relaxed, but not be part of the public scene. And then we create a vibrant, fantastic destination area where the public can come in if you want that vibe. So it's a different approach to how you want to create your spaces with an area so that people do feel it's their second home. They feel like it's their other house, hence the other house. Where are you staying? I'm staying at the other house. And it could be the other house of Kensington or the other house of Covent Garden. But it's making people feel that they have this real genuine sense of place.
And is that what you can think of as like the next iteration of lifestyle? You know, is that where you're trying to take hospitality and hotels and merge everything you've done into this kind of new concept?
Yes, I think it's very much the next stage of hospitality. And I think other people are waking up to it and will eventually be able to develop a product. We're fortunate enough that this was a blueprint 8 years ago, and it's taken us this long to get to the point where we can bring it to market. It was still a concept on a piece of paper when we formed the company in December 19, when we bought the first asset in South Kensington. And over the 2.5 years that we have to launch in next spring, we have gone from concept to living, breathing reality. But what it offers, and I really feel it's a child of its time, is one, the kind of sense of flexibility, the fact that we believe that the nature of travel will alter, that it'll be more slow travel, that probably as people become more socially and environmentally responsible, the corporates will send their people out for fewer longer trips. And if you are coming out on business, you may well combine it with leisure. So we feel that this kind of flexible stay concept is just exactly what people are looking for. We also feel that that ability to be independent in your room and not feel you're just in an impersonal box is going to become really, really important. And of course, with COVID, everyone's got used to tech. If we brought this out even 2 years ago, we probably would have been too early. But now you're used to booking your ordering your food and your drinks on your phone. And also you want to limit touch points. And in a way, we always felt the kind of people that were going to be using our hotel would be people who want to be in control of what they're doing. They're independent-minded, they're in control. They'll have service when they want it, but they won't have it when they don't want it. They don't want a lot of people fawning over them. They want to be able to check in on their phone, walk straight through concierge, and then they want to be able to go straight up there, open their club flat, do their room controls, right through to ordering your food and your drinks and everything else. And I think that this whole tech element has now become very much what people are used to. And the beauty of what we're doing is we are developing a completely new app that will take you through the entire process with the aim of it not being disjointed or interfacing with other apps or other systems. And we will be able to take you through that user journey in a branded kind of way, which is going to be synced with the branding of the other house and how we want to present the other house. So I feel app, flexibility, personal space are all exactly where the market is going to go. And that currently hotels are bolting bits and pieces on, service departments are becoming a little bit more techy, although they're still in the UK very behind the times. I think it is where we're going to come. And this artificial divide that we have certainly in the UK is just going to be broken down. And it's quite interesting that when we talk to the planners about it, they're not resistant to it. Whereas even a few years ago, they would have been very, very resistant to the idea of longer stays within a hotel. But it's the way of the future.
I completely agree, because I think, you know, and people are re-examining how they travel, right? And who they travel with. And, you know, especially me with young children, like, you know, staying longer and kind of doing that hybrid. I think it's such a great time for this to be launching. And design-wise, you know, I know it's the other house, you want it homey. What are you, you know, can you give us a little bit of insight of what you're hoping to create? And who did you bring in to collaborate with you?
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing to mention before I get on to the design element, it is part of the building design, is of course our other key pillar is sustainability. And that we're not paying lip service to. Our joint venture partner is APG, which is the fifth biggest pension fund in the world. That is completely corporate governance, treating people well, and sustainability are absolutely the top of their agenda. And therefore, even, you know, obviously we are using old buildings, so of course that's environmentally much better, but equally we are monitoring energy. Our guests will know how much energy that they're going to be using. We're using in the London residence clubs local or British manufacturers and so forth. So that is all a part of our story. In terms of the design, it is going to be bold, clubby and contemporary. We've worked with an interior designer called Bergman Design House. They are absolutely on a fantastic upward trajectory in the UK, although they work also in the Middle East, and they also do work on yachts. They won the UK Brit Hotel Design Awards last year after we had appointed them. And they absolutely get exactly what we were wanting to do and what we were aspiring to. And it's very vibrant. It's grown up, because actually we're targeting grown-ups kind of mentally. We feel that these are people who are aspirational, they have values, they know where they want to be and where they want to go. But it's really cool. It'll be super cool. We're using very strong colours, and both the interior designer Marie Solomon, who's the co-founder, and I absolutely gelled on the fact that we're using burgundies and teals and dark greens, and it's quite lavish and lush and a huge sensory experience. Our destination bar is just going to, I think, blow everybody's minds, because we want it to be a place that people want to come to. So although it is a sense of place we're creating, it's probably not the home that you would live in at home, but it may be the home that you would aspire to live in, or that if you had the boldness, you might create. So it's going to be a really great interior design experience. So lots of deep colors, fantastic kind of wallpaper designs, which are really cool. And in fact, you just log in, we've just got a holding page, a landing page, otherhouse.com, and you will see the kind of one of the wallpaper designs, which is of an owl and a monkey. And it's basically, and there's a little Latin phrase there, and it's wise as an owl, curious as a monkey, because that's how we see the guests that are coming to us. We also have humor, and we're self-deprecating, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. Our architect are called Faulkner Chester Hall, FCH, and they are an eminent British firm of architects. And we work with both them and with Bergman's, both on our first asset in South Kensington and now on our asset in Covent Garden, because we work as a complete collaborative partnership. It's a really fantastic experience. And certainly talking to our architect, they've never been an experience where the client or the owner is so collaborative and integrating with the people who are our consultants.
How did you pick Bergman?
We did a beauty parade of different interior designers. We met a lot of them. And I suppose out of that beauty parade, and various people came up with good ideas, I think they shone. And particularly Marie has great enthusiasm and zest of life. She's a kind of life enhancer, and that was immediate when I met her. And then when they came for their kind of second round pitch, she actually spoke to her partner Albin, who thought that I wanted a kind of Scandi look, and Marie said no, that's not what she's looking for. Fortunately, they chose the right option. So when they came to present, they'd really kind of hit the button on the head. The nail on the head, in terms of the kind of feel and look we wanted. And it has been a wonderful partnership all the way through. And I think we'll be producing some really, really exciting results.
Yeah. And did you use designers on your other properties as well, or was that all you?
No. So of all the properties we've done before, when we were targeting the private rental sector, which is obviously the history of the company, we've always done our design internally. So we've had our own interior designers, our own project managers, and so forth. I think that was also a surprise for our consultants, because actually we've done it, and also we've worked on being the provider side rather than the client side. In fact, that's been most of my life. So we just don't approach it in the way that a client would, because we've done it all and we know how to do it. So we haven't employed other interior designers until this particular project, when of course we needed it because it was such a very, very large project, and because we didn't have that same kind of hospitality experience with front of house and all of that kind of thing. But we've moved with our architect and our interior designer to the next project because we love working with them so much, and because they've just, again, absolutely got it. And the Covent Garden project will be on a theme, but it will be different because, again, from my advertising background, we need to create this brand and this brand awareness really quickly. That's why I wanted to only have one name, the other house, and then the other house, South Kensington, the other house, Covent Garden, the other house, wherever it may be. So we have one name, our bistro offering and our bar offering. They both have a name yet to be revealed, and they will move with all our residence clubs. And I want them to feel that you're coming into something which is familiar, but yes, there are all sorts of little secrets and differences that you'll get to see and know and enjoy as you move from club to club around the world, because our intention is absolutely to be global.
That's amazing. And when you say, you know, tell me more about your idea for the residence club. So, you know, is it locals get to join? Is it just for those staying there? Tell me how you see that growing and, you know, evolving.
I mean, you've got it absolutely right, and it will be twofold. The first thing is it's a club for our residents, so that when our residents come, they feel part of a club, not necessarily community because they're kind of independent, although that's there, or rather a community, but not necessarily community in terms of geography, a community in terms of having the same attitude of mind. And we very much want our app to not only be something you use when you're staying, but something you're going to look into is what's happening in South Kensington or Covent Garden, what the stories, what's going on at the other house, and producing really useful and nice and creative material. But we wanted our residents to feel this kind of club vibe, that it was their place. And that's why we wanted to call it the Residence Club. But equally, we will open the club element, the bits which are just residents only, to members. To begin with, it will be a very small number of select members, probably our kind of ambassadors and thought leaders that we're going to integrate into creating some form of cultural committee in terms of helping us develop the brand values and how we're going to communicate it. But then it would be open to a local residents. Well, like I mean, they don't have to be local, but the likelihood is they're going to be open to local residents. And we have, as well as these two great bars and the spa, which are in the residence club, we have meeting rooms that can also be used as private dining rooms. We have a lovely library. And so, yes, we will want to open it up to a private membership. We'll take it quite slowly, one, because we want it to be exclusive, and secondly, because of assessing the demand from our residents as to how much we can open it up to other people. But what we want is that if you are a resident of the other house, South Kensington, you can go and use the club in Covent Garden if you're over there and you want to use that. And similarly, our members will be able to do the same thing.
Amazing. And then you mentioned sustainability as being, you know, very important. How are you integrating that even more than just the building? And how does wellness play a factor in the other house and moving forward overall?
Okay, well, wellness, of course, derives a lot from the environment that you're in and the experiences you feel. And the fact that we want to create this really grounded sense of place where you also feel part of the locality, that you don't feel like a tourist, you feel like an individual, and that our staff will be talking to you at that level. Because we have the app and a lot of the mundane elements of hotel interactions can be removed, it means that the people that we used to be front of house can really interact in a kind of adult, meaningful way with the guests. So I think wellness is partly the atmosphere that we're able to create. Clearly, then there's going to be physical wellness. So we have a lot of natural planting within the building. I don't like using the word biophilia. You know, until 2 years ago, I'd never even heard of it. But we have these wonderful inner courtyards that we put in all the way through the Residence Club in South Kensington, and we're going to have one in Covent Garden as well. It kind of seems to be a theme at the moment, where we will have wonderful natural vegetation. In fact, they're trees. So it's not really plants, it's trees, which I think is really nice. A lot of trees in the lobby. As I mentioned to you, we will be monitoring the energy. And part of the app will be showing how much energy that people are using and whether it's above what it should be. When we get to Covent Garden, we will probably be able to monitor every single room's use. At the moment, it's going to be hotel-wide. We have a spa with a vitality pool and steam room and sauna. And in the club area, we have this courtyard, which is kind of feels like an inside space or an outside space inside, which is light and tree-filled. And then the destination bar, because it's a double height atrium, you sit in that, you can open the windows and be in the treetops. So there are lots of touches all the way through that will just add to people's sense of well-being.
That's amazing. And what part of the process do you like the most? I mean, it's, you know, you can just see your passion. You know, what is it that you love about, is it the beginning? Is it the branding still? Is it like getting nitty gritty in the design details, or is it a mixture of all of it?
Of course, it's a mixture of all of it, because I suppose the exciting thing is to have had an idea that you've nurtured for a long time and getting it to the point where we're able to start talking to possible co-investors, where we got to the point of securing our investor and then be able to realize the concept to make it a reality. So, of course, it is extremely exciting and, I have to admit, nerve-wracking to be going from the concept to the reality. That in itself is just amazing. Also, I suppose the excitement was creating or transforming the face of hospitality in central London. People would say to me, why on earth are you moving from LCP, of which I am still chairman but no longer CEO, and moving into this new project? And it's because it's going to make a difference, and that has to be exciting. And then, of course, it is connecting all the moving parts, and there are so many moving parts. So whether it be the branding, the positioning, developing the web, developing the app, dealing with the interior design, working out how it's going to operate and what the guest journey is inside the hotel, and how we're going to make every single element operate. So, for example, things like the fact that we have an area where people are going to be able to pick up their Amazon parcels and their Deliveroo parcels, because we know that's part of what people do in hotels now, but doing it in a way that we don't have moped drivers coming in through the lobby. So all the logistics and the operation and how it's going to work with the app and what's on the app and what's not on the app, and how people are going to get what they want. Right through to now, where we are building up the operational team. And clearly, of course, there's a whole kind of financial modelling and making sure that all of the budgeting is going as we want it to. So I love the whole picture, but I suppose I am a creative, I'm an entrepreneur, so I love the entrepreneurial bit and making it happen, never taking no for an answer. If there is a roadblock, finding a way around it, maybe coming up with a bigger solution. I love, of course, the architectural side. I love the interior design. I love the branding, because that kind of feeds into the creative side. So I have to admit that I really really enjoy that side. I'm bringing the brand to life and creating a living being with the brand. So I do adore that. But of course, it's making all the moving parts fit together and hopefully click together with a fabulous end result next spring.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So is it next spring? Is that what you're hoping for?
Yeah, so the South Kensington is due to open in spring 2022. Covent Garden will open in autumn 2023, but we are actively looking at acquiring other assets, probably another four in prime central London. So something may open, well open in the interim, maybe if it's a slightly smaller asset. And at that point, we will look to move abroad. And I suspect our first destination will be New York.
That would make me happy. And then, so you have this amazing drive. I mean, you bought a flat young, you know, where does that come from? Did you have mentors along the way? Was that something from your childhood? You know, where do you think you get this, you know, kind of passion and drive?
The drive is presumably in my genes somewhere along the line, because I do have a phenomenal drive. And the not saying, not ever accepting no, and never accepting things which aren't up to the right standard. I can't tell you exactly where it's come from, but obviously it's always been there. From going to Oxford, being the youngest director, female director at Saatchi's, to setting up LCP, to making that a well-respected, well-recognized offering within the international market, although we only acquire in central London. I move forward. I say what I think. I'm straight down the line. If someone hasn't done right, I'll tell them, then it's done, it's over. Move on to the next thing. And I have this thing about moving on. So it is, you know, it is a you know, it is a personal characteristic I have, and it's part of me, and I can't really explain where it's come from or where it was derived. It's just always been there.
Love it. And tell us a little bit about yourself too. More, what's your house like? You know, does your house evoke, you know, some of what you've been?
Yes.
Come out of other house?
Yes. Well, if you Google me, you may find some pictures of my house, because it has been featured a few times. And yes, it's a very eclectic house. It's full of very strong colors. It's full of a lovely mix of different antiques and collector's items. It's not going to be to everybody's taste, but it very much, there is the feel and look of the house in the other house. So maybe the other house is just a bigger version of my house, but there certainly is an element of that, because I didn't want to create the white Scandi look. I didn't want to have the industrial look. I think they've all been done an awful lot. And obviously interiors are getting braver, and hospitality normally leads the way. Hospitality interiors have always been so much further advanced to my mind than residential. And that was partly, you know, in the private rental sector, in the private rentals that we were doing, the fact that people wanted it to look, have that kind of hotel look, because I suppose that hotel look is just a little bit glossier than what they have in their home. So so I suppose it's really exciting to bring all of that into the hotel interior, but there's definitely a flavor of my home in the other house, without any doubt. And hopefully the other house takes it even further with the help of Marie and her inspiration and insights.
Speaking of inspiration, how do you constantly stay inspired, or, you know, what do you look to kind of keep you going? Yeah. Especially over this past year, which was challenging to say the least.
Well, yeah, and I suppose I was so lucky this last year that I just had this immense project that literally I think about every waking moment of the day. And when I wake up in the morning, it's rather sad, really, I'm thinking about it again. And so I've had, for me, I just, during this period, had something to concentrate on so much that I haven't really noticed to that extent in lockdown. Other than the very first lockdown, I came into the office, I was on my own, but I liked to actually have the break between home and work, because I just found that it was all becoming work at home, and there was never any delineation. And in fact, because we were working at the kind of conceptual stage of the project, we were able to do an awful lot on Zoom and on Teams. The building work started in spring of last year, when obviously COVID was happening. But we had managed to pretty much keep on schedule. We had to close down once for a short spell because of COVID, and we had to kind of keep it under control and break the circuit. But we have managed to keep to the timetable despite everything. I now really want everyone back in the office, because creative business, interactions, ideas, and we're still very much formulating our ideas as we go along, I find it's so much better face-to-face. The trouble with the Zoom meetings is everyone has to talk by rote. You can't really interrupt. You can't have an aside. And you just get so much more vitality and inspiration when you have people together. So I'm really excited. I mean, people are coming in and out, and they're doing that more and more. But I'm really excited when we get the group together so that we can power off each other, which is just so important in this process. But actually, despite the situation, we have been able to be enormously productive. And I think, you know, unlike other hospitality businesses, which was trading, who have just had the most dire and shocking and sad time, we were just so fortunate that we were in the development phase.
Well, and you probably weren't traveling, so you had that time, right, to kind of stop and really breathe it in, you know, because I feel like one of the silver linings is having, you know, the time.
Absolutely right. And, you know, whereas I'd be doing foreign trips, at least biannually, to the Middle East or the Far East, of course, and I've not had any of that. So you're absolutely right that it has been constant focus time.
Where's your favorite place to travel to?
I love exotic places, or culturally exotic places. So I love, Hong Kong. When I first went to Hong Kong, I'd never seen anything like it. The kind of noise, the kind of business, the fact that everyone was doing business completely publicly and it wasn't remotely British, and the colour. I mean, that was just the most amazing experience when they went there. I love Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Bangkok, Kuala Lumpur, Hong Kong, adore it. And then more recently, I went to India and I just adored that environment, and particularly Rajasthan, which, again, I like going to places which are culturally different because you feel you're doing something different. And I love that colour and chaos. And Rajasthan was just the most colourful, most chaotic, most noisy place that I've ever visited. And I have to think that, I mean, that was such a high point. Japan as well, but in a completely different kind of way. But again, was so different. So I suppose I like culturally different places, and I love colour, and I love places where they live in a different way from the way we do. So I do love New York too, and I have to say that that trip disappointingly was cancelled just as lockdown came in. But I suppose I really like these vibrant, colourful cultures. Those are going to be my favourite destinations.
Amazing. And tell us one thing that people might not know about you.
Well, now that's a difficult one, because I think probably most of what I'm prepared to have people know about me is out there on the net. One thing that they may not know about is the fact that I met my second husband years and years ago. We spent 3 years together as youngsters and then moved apart because I was in a growing up phase. And about 15 years ago, when we were both divorced, we re-met and saw each other and reconnected as though we'd seen each other the day before. And 8 years ago, nearly, we got married. And it's been the most wonderful love story you could possibly imagine. And we're sad for all the years that we spent apart, but actually, we probably are having a much, much better time for having re-met older and wiser much later on. So I'll tell you that as my story. And I could tell you more about it and how it happened, but I won't bore you with that. But it has been the most amazing love story.
Oh, I love that. See, I had to ask that question to get that out of you. So. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. We always end the podcast with the title of the podcast, and that's what I've learned. So what has been your greatest lesson learned over the years?
I think two things, one of which I've talked to you about, well, in fact, both of them, which is that when there is a roadblock, you find a way around it. And often the solution you end up with is better than the solution you originally thought of. So you should never be disheartened. I think that's a huge lesson. I think sheer determination and drive is incredibly important for the entrepreneur and moving forward and never saying no to anything. I think listening to people and their ideas, whether or not you ultimately adopt that, is really, really important. And actually, I think moving on is very important.
Well, amazing. Well, I so loved chatting with you and hearing your story. And I can't wait to see the other house when it opens in 2022.
Yes. Well, thank you.
So good to see you. Bye. Thanks for listening to Hospitality Design's What I've Learned. If you like what you've heard, subscribe and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find full episodes and transcripts at hospitalitydesign.com.